welcome to this episode of the Pretty Girls Club, where I'm talking about meeting our current president. So obviously the presidential campaign and election just ended a week ago, and everything is still really fresh in our minds. And I had the honor of meeting Mr. Tharman in person. So I do want to kind of talk about that, how it happened, how it went down, and how, and everything that I guess went through my mind as everything happened, because this was, it felt like a very interesting opportunity that suddenly fell onto my lap. And I was just like, thought about it for a while, and I was like, yeah, just wanted to kind of pretty much walk you guys through the entire process, the thought process, everything that went through my mind, and how that interaction went. And I guess my takeaways from that interaction. So, because all I posted was a selfie, right? So yeah, everything that was behind that selfie. So yeah, let's get into it. So hello, if you're watching, people from Mr. Tharman's team, because I'm guessing you might have to watch this as part of your job. Hello! Okay, so anyways, time for serious stuff. So I guess how it happened would be interesting to talk about, because this was a really random phone call that I got. So I got a phone call from my friend Pat, who is the founder of Good Stuff. So I work with Good Stuff a bunch over the years for like different client campaigns and stuff like that. They're an agency. So Pat's the founder of the agency, and Pat literally texted me one day like, can I call you? And Pat called me, and it was a super random call, and the call literally started with, how have you been? And I'm like, I've been okay, how have you been? And then literally immediately she's like, okay, let me just get into it. And then she just said, what are your thoughts on Tharman? And then I'm just there on the phone like, oh, what? So I remember asking her, do you mean as someone who could potentially be our future president, or do you mean as a human being? So I remember asking that. And then I was like, well, I mean, if you mean in general, then I guess he's fine. You know, I really didn't know what to say in that moment. And it was very random. And then Pat told me that they were planning like a upcoming like panel conversation type of thing, or just like a sit down meet and greet type session with Mr. and Mrs. Tharman, where like members of the youth would just come by, and content creators and stuff, creative individuals lah, was what Pat was saying. So I guess I'm creative. But anyways, so yeah, she was inviting a bunch of people that she knew personally, and we all just went to we're just gonna go hang out at this place and just have the opportunity to ask him a question. So she did basically tell me that she's hoping to get approval, you know, in terms of content that might be created around this meeting. So she doesn't want it to be a situation where, you know, I go for something like this and I'm not allowed to post anything about it or ask anything I want to ask, because then what's the point, right? If I can't really have a conversation or ask something that I really want to get answered. So she already like mentioned all that on the phone, and those were already concerns that she was trying to address and trying to like figure out what's the things we can do and we can't do with this whole session thing. So basically over this call, I got invited lah, to this session. And after the call, I was like, yeah, I know, I'm definitely going to be keen to do something like this, because I think to me, I mean, in general, as a voter and as somebody who clearly cares about society in Singapore and things that go on in Singapore, just over the years, I mean, clearly with my content and the work that I've done and things that I talk about in general, I thought this would be an opportunity to like, okay, if I could potentially meet someone that might be future president, maybe I could ask them about things that I care about and things that I've experienced over the years, especially considering that their campaign messaging was called Respect for All. And I thought like, yeah, okay, if I have the opportunity to meet this person, I don't know how crowded it will be. I don't know what kind of social setting this would be, but I'm signing up for maybe I will have a chance to speak to this person one-on-one. And I really didn't know what to expect. So I remember asking Pat on the phone, like, how many people are you expecting? Like, who else are you inviting? Because I really don't know if this was going to be a massive thing or a super intimate thing. And it sounded pretty intimate. Like, it sounded like it was going to be like, I think she mentioned like 15 or 20 people max. So fast forward to this day came to be, and I was very nervous going into it, because I was like, I don't know what to ask, and am I even going to have a sit-down opportunity? Are other people going to like really want to talk to him and really be super extroverted and manage to successfully ask everything they want to ask? And am I just going to like be one of those people that wasted opportunity, I didn't get to ask everything I want to ask? Because those are genuine thoughts that go through my mind when I meet anyone in general, that then it's a and if there's an opportunity to like, oh, you might be able to speak to this person, you might be able to ask them something, like whether it's a celebrity, I get to interview a press con, you know, things that I've been through in my career in general, this it felt the same way. So I was like, damn, would it be a thing where I have to like, if I dare, then I raise up my hand and ask, because that gives me so much anxiety. So I went into it like, okay, I really have to. And I didn't prepare like a list of questions, but in my mind in general, I was like, what I was looking forward to the most was genuinely meeting this person and kind of seeing what they were like in person. Because Mr. Tamran is obviously somebody that we have seen on national media most of our lives, especially if you're in the same generation as me. You know, you grew up like seeing this person everywhere, right? In politics, parliament, on the news, on TV, everywhere. So this just felt like a person that existed, but I don't know if real or not, because I never see before. I never see in real life before. So in my mind, I was like, oh, of course, the opportunity to be in the same room as this person and potentially speak to them and know what they are like was all very like exciting, and was just very like, I really want to know what this person is like, and I want to see the vibe I get, and I want to catch that vibe. Does this person seem as genuine as they seem, as genuine as like most Singaporeans make this person out to be? Yeah, so that was really what I was trying to like hoping to achieve from that, I guess, in my own mind and like personally. So when I went there, it was it was pretty intimate session. So everybody else who was invited, we all got there first. We started mingling, talking to other creators and meeting people within that group. And then maybe like 30 minutes in, Mr. and Mrs. Tarman showed up. And immediately when they showed up, right, they just like walked over to everybody to like introduce themselves and like shake hands with people, say hello. And we literally were just sitting there like, should we stand up? Like, this is so awkward. Like, it was, that's really how things were going down. So it was not like, okay, they have arrived, everybody, like greet them. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like applause. It wasn't that formal. It was really chill. So yeah, we then started to like, okay, let's just stand up, introduce ourselves. And immediately upon making like first interaction and like first like eye contact with either of them, it was obvious that they already knew who I was. So that made it a bit like a little bit awkward. But I've also been in many settings where that has happened. Like whoever I'm meeting and I'm seeing for the first time, they already know me. And it's like same, like I obviously already knew him, but it was just very interesting to like, oh yeah, pretty, hi. You know, like that interaction was just like, okay, like awkward, very stressful for me. But it was all extremely pleasant. So the whole interaction was very nice. Interacted with Mr. Tarman first. He actually came up to say hi, asked me, how have I been? How has my work been? And eventually when, naturally, like other people from this event, we were all like crowded around him and all trying to say hi and talk to him. But eventually when, I guess, the people dispersed a bit more and realized that, okay, maybe like he'll come closer to us, we can talk to him later. So when that started to happen, we kind of had like a moment where it was just a one-on-one conversation. So he did actually ask me like, how has work been like since the incident in 2019. He did ask pretty much like literally like, do I still get work? That was pretty much like the question that he was trying to put across. I'm not quoting him directly, obviously I'm paraphrasing. So he did also ask me stuff like, oh, do you get job opportunities that are within like, do you get government job opportunities? He did ask me that. And I remember thinking like, actually, what? That's a very specific question. But off the top of my head, I couldn't remember doing anything government sector related since 2019. But for sure, I've had inquiries come in via email. I've had to code for like gigs that are government related or like some level of within the government sector. So yeah, I was like, actually, yeah, I think I have had like inquiries come in, but I don't think anything has amounted to like an actual job or an actual shoot or video that I created that was a government thing. Unless I'm forgetting something. So I'm sorry if I forgot and I worked with you and you are like part of the government sector. But yeah, so off the top of my head, I couldn't remember in that moment. And he did ask about that. He also did ask about my brother. He asked me, how is everything? How's everything going? And I did say like, oh, of course, it hasn't been easy. And when the trial has been ongoing throughout the year, so every time we go back to court, like my brother and I, obviously, we're constantly in the news. And even if like there is no need to mention me, like I am still by my brother's side, right, for most of these things. So naturally, I get mentioned. And that obviously has a direct impact on my career and my livelihood as well. And of course, for my brother as well. So these were things that were brought up, that were mentioned very, very, like, very casually, nothing like super serious conversation. It was just mentioned super casually. And then the conversation got a bit more lighthearted. And we talked about things like, So my best friend and actually my partner, like they have lived in Jurong, and basically Mr. Tharman was their MP for the longest time. So they've had a lot of like stories and first hand experience about the on ground work that Mr. and Mrs. Tharman have done, and just interactions with him, stories that they've shared with me. And yeah, it's obviously mostly positive experiences. So in that moment, we did talk about that. And he did also acknowledge, like Mr. Tharman actually acknowledged that he actually recognized my boyfriend. He knew who he was. And so weird, I say my boyfriend. I mean, Shark, okay, we all know Shark. So he did acknowledge that, oh yeah, he knows Shark. And he also knew my best friend. And it was like really, like it was just a moment of like, oh nice. Like he actually remembers the people that he meets on ground, and he remembers faces really well. Like he really recognized them. And the next time, I will actually mention the next interaction later on in this episode. But yeah, anyway, so that was how that one-on-one conversation went. Eventually, he moved on to like say hi and talk to other people. And then I was talking to Mrs. Tharman. And she was very fun to talk to. She was very pleasant. She was very, very kind. And I think for me, like, I can safely say that how they have come across throughout this entire presidential campaign was actually what I saw when I met them firsthand, was actually what I experienced. I experienced that they were very kind, genuine people. That's the vibe that I got. And that was my personal experience. And Mrs. Tharman seemed like she would be hilarious, you know, if I could just hang out with her, I think she'd be hilarious. But yeah, she seemed really fun, very fun to talk to. She was very, she was pretty funny and she was very nice. So yeah, eventually this conversation, the one-on-one conversations were done, and then they kind of started the event proper, and they pretty much did like an address, like just to like thank us for being there and for showing up. And mind you, if I'm remembering this correctly, I think this was within a couple of days of the entire presidential election campaign starting. So this was easily one of the first few like meet and greet type of events that were happening. And after this event that we did that was pretty intimate, every other day of the week, like Mr. and Mrs. Tharman were doing like massive events, discussions, panels, town halls, you know, those things were happening throughout the entire campaign lah. But this was easily one of the first few ones to kick off the entire campaign. So at that point, I didn't know anyone else personally that was going to meet him as well. I also didn't know what else was in store for the rest of the campaign. But after they did their address, they eventually said, okay, yeah, so it's going to be a chill Q&A. If you have a question, you can ask. So when the other creators did ask a bunch of questions, I can't remember the exact things that were answered. But I know some people asked about things like about his upbringing, like what were the sports he played growing up. They asked about what keeps him up at night. They asked about the campaign in general, what he wants to achieve as president. You know, things like that. That I guess were pretty like nothing too specific. And when I decided, you know what, I'm going to ask something. So in my mind, I finally, like, I guess I only decided to ask that question when I successfully phrased it right in my own mind. We switched on the lights. Anyways, okay, let's get back into it. So I was telling you all the question that I asked. So basically, I asked him how his campaign was titled Respect for All. And I said, what do we do as concerned citizens if we see disrespect all around us lah. So when it comes to disrespect, it's things like disrespect towards race when we see advertisements like the brown face advertisement, and disrespect towards lives when we see migrant workers packed in lorries just to get to work in extremely unsafe conditions, and when my friends of the LGBTQ+ community literally cannot even get married in this country. And I think that's very disrespectful to their relationships and their lives. So what do we do when we see disrespect towards so many different groups of people all around us every other day? And how do we maintain the ideology of respect for all, you know? So he shared his firsthand experience with microaggressions when it came to things like racism. So about how when he took the bus to go to school, people wouldn't want to sit next to him, or people would dust off the seat that he just got up from, you know, because he was like one of the only brown people on the bus, you know, and these were actions that he experienced. And it was just very normal to experience these things like growing up. And he also talked about how when he was overseas, he experienced racism firsthand when it came from like a child who, you know, threw a rock at him, threw a pebble at him because He was a brown man, like, and it was a very sensitive time to exist in a space like that because the riots just happened in the UK and it was just all very sensitive all around. And he talked about how he pretty much accepted these things and these actions that happened around him because he could accept the fact that we were all different and we were all different to some to a certain extent. Like. And he also went on to talk about... So he mentioned acceptance for quite a bit when it came to these things, and he also talked about how... it is not completely like the onus to like one change in Singapore in general, like should also fall on the people who create art. And through art as a medium, we can kind of talk about different things and kind of push, like, you know, shift perspectives wherever we can and encourage that change, like that said change, and ideally achieve respect for all. So I'm paraphrasing everything, obviously not quoting directly, and that was pretty much the response and the takeaway from the question that I asked, like, that I got. And how that made me feel was honestly a little bit disappointed because I felt like my question wasn't really answered, and I felt like for the longest time many marginalized groups that I mentioned in my question alone have already chose the route of acceptance, and they have been accepting the way that they've been mistreated for a very long time. And I think we should be past the acceptance stage of it. That's my personal opinion, lah. And clearly, I think in the work that I do and the things that I've been saying, I'm not gonna sit around and accept it, right? I'm over that, and I've accepted it for most part of my life. So I guess I didn't really agree with that response completely, and I didn't really felt like my question was answered very well, so I left feeling a bit like sien, to be frank, for the lack of better way to express my feelings here. And when he did mention that it's also on people who create art and create content to kind of use their platform to say certain things, it did feel a bit like, huh, but isn't that what I did? Isn't that what I've been doing? Haven't I been using music parodies to say things? And when I said to F it up, I was calling out people who kept screwing it up, you know? And to me, it just felt like, but you're talking to someone who literally did that. And 4 years on, my sibling is obviously still facing the repercussions of that in a very different scale than I am. But of course, in general, I've also faced repercussions from what happened in 2019 up till today. And I don't think that will ever change. I think for the rest of my life, there will always be repercussions from what happened in 2019. And of course, everybody has their opinion, lah. To some people out there, it's like, oh, but we did that to ourselves, right? It's our fault. And to another group of people, it's like, maybe there's a better way to say it, but what they're going through is not justified. Like, they should not be punished the way they've been punished. And then to another group of people, that's completely whack that they ever got in trouble for it. So there are many opinions out there, and it's just, this was something that happened 4 years ago. Eh? That's so crazy every time I talk about it. And to be frank, it's not something that I feel like it's in my past at all. It's something that gets brought up every couple of weeks in my life by the people around me, the people I meet for work, and it's everywhere, lah. And I see microaggressions and racism still to a certain extent around me, and I'm just every day hoping and praying that it doesn't blow out and it's not some big incident that I have to experience or face or just witness firsthand, you know, or ever even witness someone else experience around me. It's just insane, lah, that these things are still very real possibilities. So after I asked my question, I mean, other creators around me asked other questions, and there were two other creators who also asked questions with regards to like marginalized groups in Singapore, specifically the LGBTQ+ community, and they had great questions. And I just felt like the whole time I just sat there like replaying my own question and the answer I got in my own mind, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about it, you know. And that was happening the entire time. So fast forward to when the Q&A session ended, and it was pretty much time for us to like, it wrapped up pretty quick. So everybody like took turns to ask questions. It wasn't like we didn't go down a row of like everybody asked a question. It was just, if you thought of something, you can ask. But of course, there was a lot of pressure to like, okay, we're trying to wrap this up. Okay, yeah, we'll do one more and we'll wrap it up. You know, classic like press con energy. So when that happened, eventually when the Q&A portion ended, and it was just, okay, we'll just chill, have drinks, and we're going to call it a night soon, like Mr. Starman, we're going to leave. So we did take pictures, we did do all of that, hence the selfie that you guys have seen on the internet that I posted. And right after the panel ended, Mr. Tharman, like when we all got up to like take pictures and stuff, there was a moment of Mr. Tharman coming up to me to ask me to ask me this la. So he basically said, oh, I saw you taking videos and photos throughout the Q&A. Like, what do you intend to do with this content? So when that caught me off guard a bit, but I thought, I mean, initially he did, when we first interacted, he did ask me about my job, right? He asked me about like, am I still creating content? Like, what do I do? So I was like, oh yeah, very normal question. Like, oh, okay, I probably would post a TikTok or a reel. I still make videos, like short form content like that here and there. And then that's when he went on to tell me basically how, okay, but when you choose, whatever you choose to post from this session, you know how the internet will take certain things like, and they tend to sensationalize things without context. So yeah, don't just pick the most like controversial parts, or don't just pick the parts that I think would get the most clicks. That's essentially what I was told. And mind you, like, this is not, I don't think what he said was wrong. I think it was completely fair, completely valid. The internet does sensationalize things, and context is very important on the internet. So everything he said was accurate. But I did feel very conflicted in that moment of, wait, I was told that in this session, I could ask pretty much anything I wanted. It just depended on whether I dared to or not. And I was very, very nervous. And I did ask something that I thought was a very important question to ask. And I was met with a response that I don't even know if I want to post, because it didn't feel like there was a social media post worthy of response that I got, to be frank. So I just felt very meh lah. And then when I was told that technically by the candidate himself at that point, I was a bit like, it's not like a member of his team is coming up to me to ask. And it wasn't like I was told, oh, you know, before you post something, could you send it over? Because if that was the case, then I would have felt a bit more like, yeah, I'm happy to send over. And I wasn't going to like censor my content, because whatever I would have posted, is matter of fact, these are things that were said. If you needed me to add context or add like text on screen to be like, oh, by the way, you know, this was asked or this is edited to be like, to just be a bit more short form. You know, if you needed me to do things like that, happy to, because I get that context is very important. And this was a very sensitive like time lah, because presidential elections were ongoing, right? So I felt a bit like, now I don't know if I should post anything at all. I also didn't even think the response was worthy of a post. I was in a position of like, maybe I won't post anything at all. Let's see lah. You know, if I am free, if I have the time, I will go and review the videos that I did take and see if I feel like something is worthy of posting. If not, then whatever lah. So after that interaction, I was like, yeah, you know, I don't intend to like post things to sensationalize things, like things in general. And I also think like, I don't know if, I mean, it is quite sad to know that that is a thought process that people go through when they interact with me, that I might possibly film something because I want to go viral, I want to be controversial, I want to like sensationalize something. And I mean, I don't think that was the intention, but I mean, personally, I just want to put it out there that that has never been my intention behind any content piece. And if something has gone viral, it's because it's usually I'm saying something that matters, and I'm usually talking about something that's already viral or already controversial, and I'm talking about my opinion on it, or I'm parodying something that's already so insanely viral that naturally that will give traction to any video that I was creating about it. So it's never been a, oh, let's say this because it's controversial, you know, like it's never been that. And that's like a lame ass way to exist lah, to me, and not a way that I create content lah. So but yeah, I can't, for the sake of like, yeah, people just my I know my name is synonymous with controversy and whatever, right? I'm not here to go change everyone's opinions on me. Feel what you feel, think what you think. But anyways, it did just kind of feel a bit like, oh yeah, I don't know what I should do. And the best way to describe how I was feeling was conflicted, because it's not like I already had an edit and I edited something and I was ready to press upload and then now this derailed all my plans. It wasn't like that. I literally just got, like, this is fresh off asking a question. So we went on for the rest of the night and then we took pictures, there were photo taking sessions, I took a selfie, and I just thought it was very punny, very hilarious to post a picture with somebody who was very clearly, in my opinion, going to be president no matter what, because of just how popular this person was in Singapore in general. To me, it was quite a no-brainer that he was going to win. Does this reflect my personal opinions? Clearly not. I'm saying this matter of fact, this person has been extremely popular for 2 decades. And it just, to me, felt like anybody that was going to choose to, I couldn't think of any other name that would have like, yeah, you know, like I just, to me, it was just, that was just very obvious. So I went into it like, okay, this would be funny for me to post this picture and call myself Singapore's top president, because that's what I call myself, Singapore's top everything. So I'm meeting the presidential hopeful, and at that point I was pretty confident, like, yeah, considering the competition, one person I've never in my life heard of up till the elections, another person has been questionable for the longest time, and this person who I don't know how I feel because I don't necessarily agree with his regime, and I don't necessarily agree with most of the things that they have been behind completely. And just looking at the three candidates, I was like, I know my country well enough to know who's going to win this, but so let me just post a funny selfie because I think it'd be hilarious to stand beside someone that was about to be our president and call myself Singapore's top president. So that was the intention behind posting the picture I did. I thought it was very funny, posted it, went on with life, and kept thinking back about the interaction that I had, and always wondered how I could put it across or how I could word my interaction with Mr. Tharman well. And then literally it just occurred to me like last night. It's literally last night I was texting Kai Ying, who's behind the camera right now, and I was like, actually, why not just do a podcast episode? Like, if I want to talk about my interaction with Mr. Tharman and how that whole meeting went and how I felt, like, how just my thoughts, my emotions about everything, why not do a podcast episode? I literally have created this space for me to just be me and talk about my life and my experiences. What? So I decided to create this episode. So this was something that I just thought of yesterday. And yeah, personally, that's how I felt. And this was still, like I mentioned earlier on, this was very early into the presidential election campaign. And then the days went on. Every other day, we started to see social media just flooded completely with all the different candidates and their campaign efforts. And they were meeting different members of the public. They were on the streets, you know, at different parts of Singapore, just talking to anyone and everyone you could think of. And then they were also having youth panels, discussions, Q&A stuff, inviting people for like dinner, drinks, having intimate sessions. So all that was happening for the rest of like the span of this election. And I obviously saw all these pieces of content online. And something that I started to notice was that sentiment, or like the way Mr. Tharman responded to my question, that was no longer something that was, oh, an intimate session, you know, with just 15, 20 people and we're hearing this. It started to be opinions and thoughts and things that I heard in much larger settings. So a week after this interaction, I was actually invited to another panel that was organized by Access. And they did like quite a big like panel, like youth discussion type thing. I think a couple of hundreds of people were there. It's a really big event. And a lot of people asked him pretty similar questions to what I asked. People talked about climate change, people talked about mental health, they talked about education in Singapore, LGBTQ+ rights, mentioned race as well. So quite a lot of things that I generally care about was mentioned and talked about in this huge event. And I started to hear the same response that I got happen. So again, once again, I started to hear these things. And then I started to realize that, oh, then actually, it's not like what was said to me was, oh, behind closed doors, nobody can know this. You know, maybe it was just because it was early in the campaign and this was not something that was expressed that publicly yet. So yeah, when I started to see the same sentiment echo throughout this campaign trail, I was a bit like, okay, I mean, like, everybody can go form their opinion themselves. These are now headlines on mainstream media, on alternative media, you're seeing all these quotes from these events get pulled out and are everywhere. So I was like, okay, it's not like what he said to me was something that he was not repeating to anyone else, and I had this exclusive content that people needed to hear from me. So I didn't feel the need to post the videos that I had and the interaction that I had. So the only thing that I posted on the internet was literally my selfie. So yeah, the days went on and I started to see that. And obviously, in general, I thought, I think this is like, I don't think it's just a politics in Singapore type thing. I think this happens everywhere. But the way the way all the candidates were getting questions that I thought were really, really trivial, and questions that were just essentially out there to humanize them and to make them very relatable, that kept happening a lot. And that just made me feel very sian. Like, I just, every time I open Instagram, it would just be like, okay, we're talking about this story of their upbringing, or we're talking about this story of their love story, we're talking about their cat, we're talking about walking the cat, we're talking about interviewing dogs, you know? So it started to be a bit like, I don't want to say like it did feel a little bit frivolous. As much as real, very real conversations and topics were getting discussed, I didn't think that was very, a lot of airtime went to those things. And it's always the to put it, for the lack of better way to phrase this well, right, it's always the lowest common denominator type of content that will forever blow up and forever go viral and be the most relatable piece of content that you can think of. Because why do I care about your opinion on the death penalty and gay rights and race when I can just hear about how you adopted your cat, you know? So, and that's easier for me to like process that information than anything difficult. So it just goes back to, this is completely separate from the presidential election. In general, that is how people consume content. So when I started to see that, and I started to see like Wake Up Singapore posting every 2 seconds about something as well, and then I was just like, oh, everything is happening, and everything, that was the only thing that I could see on any screen I looked at. And it started to just make me like pretty bummed out, and I was a bit over it lah. So I just was one of the part of the camp of people who was just ready for the elections to be done, and it just felt like all quite off. It just felt like a lot of noise, to put it frankly, across. And yeah, that's how I felt. So personally, I kept going back to it in my mind of like, I did meet somebody who I thought was very, very nice and very genuine and very real and just a all-around pleasant human being to meet and interact with. And I wish there was more time to actually have, like, I guess, a real, real conversation with them. But I kept going back to that in my mind. Like, how do I feel about interaction? And now I'm seeing all these things online. I'm seeing all these opinions shared publicly. And a lot of people also forming their own opinions about things that Mr. Tharman had to say. And I just felt like as much as this is going to definitely come off as offensive, I felt like a lot of his responses were non-responses lah. And I felt like there were a lot of like cop-out type of responses to the things that he was being asked about. And I did feel a bit unsatisfied as a concerned member of society. As a brown woman in Singapore, I did feel a bit unsatisfied. That's the best way to put it. So yeah, that I kept going back to that in my mind, and I kept going back to, could I have done more? Could I have asked more? And it has just been a back and forth in my mind since the interaction. And I do want to acknowledge that it shouldn't take away from the fact that I think it was a very pleasant interaction, but in the grand scheme of things, that was my biggest takeaway. And it's not going to sound very nice to say, but my biggest takeaway was the selfie. My biggest takeaway was a selfie with them, and was the fact that I left feeling like, oh, they seem like very good people. So unsatisfied is the best way to, I guess, summarize my entire meeting. Was I very grateful to have that opportunity? Of course. Did I wish I maybe found a way to use it a bit better, or use like that time, that very limited time that I had a bit better, limited time and access to this person, like, better? Sure. But that's something I already do to myself in my own mind in hindsight when it comes to anything at all. So everything can be done better if you think about it in hindsight. So that's how the entire interaction went. That's my wrap up of how meeting him went and how I felt, and just my own personal thoughts and opinions. So obviously this video exists, I think, for me to pretty much encourage people to be able to be a bit more critical with the content they consume. And I personally feel like I wish I had done more with the time that I had there, but I also feel like when I started to see the same sentiments echo, and when I started to see what I called non-responses happen throughout the campaign, I started to not feel as bad about how I didn't ask more, or I didn't ask like more questions, or about more things that I care about. And I felt very like, I know no matter what I asked, it would have been answered a certain type of way that wouldn't have been very satisfactory for me personally. So I started to stop feeling like shitty about that, and like beating myself up for not doing enough or not doing more, because personally it was a lot of pressure that I put on myself in that moment lah. But yeah, I'm glad to report that they seem like extremely decent and nice human beings. But also, to be frank, that is the bare minimum. If you want to exist and be freaking president of this country, I would like to think that that's bare minimum, you know, being a decent human being. Cring, cring! Hello? It is time for your unsolicited advice of the week. So my advice is... Wow, what's my advice? The elections are over already. I guess just don't be lame on the internet. That one is in general, not specific to this episode. No lah, but I guess be a bit more discerning about the content that you consume. And honestly, be a bit more critical also la. If we didn't care and put so much attention on like the like different candidates and their pets and their cats and their love stories and their families and like things that were really very like personal, just to like humanize them, if we didn't focus too much on that as like content consumers, as like audience members in general, I also don't think the media would have focused too much on that. But to be frank, the media focuses on these things because it is the things that gets them the most clicks. It is the things that blow up the most. So I feel like maybe we need to stop caring about these kind of trivial ass things. Is it very nice to know that like all the candidates love animals? Yes. I would like to think that's also bare minimum to be president. You don't want to like hurt an animal. Like, I'm glad they like animals, okay? If they hated animals, then honestly, what are they even doing? So yeah, I guess just be a bit more critical. And I don't know, Mothership needs to chill, man. Like they're doing the most, and it just makes me so uncomfortable. They literally, like, where are they hiding at everybody's polling station? How do they know these people vote? Are they literally reaching out to the different content creators and influencers to be like, hey, tell us when you go vote so we can film you? Because that's so lame. This is literally, like, your national, like, you have to vote. You know, it's so lame. So, like, I don't know, like, I just feel very, like, yeah, if we stop consuming content like that in general, then I think this kind of content will stop getting created. So maybe it's our fault. Maybe it's your fault. So yeah, thank you for watching this episode, and I hope this was helpful or insightful in, I guess, seeing the how everything went down behind the scenes, and also just understanding my opinions and my thought processes throughout everything. But if you didn't care about this episode at all, then honestly, why are you still here? How do you make it to the end? Who knows? Lord knows. But I'll end this episode by saying,
fuck it up, sis. Fuck it up.
Thank you for watching. Bye bye.